If sugar consumption is a slippery slope, then advocating moderation is not a meaningful concept. In my own mind, I keep returning to a few observations, unscientific as they may be, that make me question the validity of any definition of moderation in the context of sugar consumption. The roots of the modern discussion on sugar and disease can be traced to the early 1670s. Thomas Willis, medical advisor to the Duke of York and King Charles II, noted an increase in the prevalence of diabetes in the affluent patients of his practice. The pissing evil, he called it, and became the first European physician to diagnose a sweet taste of diabetic urine, wonderfully sweet like sugar or honey. Willis's identification of diabetes and the sweetness of the urine happens to coincide with both the first flow of sugar into England from its Caribbean colonies and the first use of sugar to sweeten tea. Other observations that resonate with me when I wrestle with the concept of moderation include one of Frederick Slayer's comments in 1715 in his article, Vindication of Sugars Against the Charges of Dr. Willis. At a time when sugar was just beginning to be more widely consumed in England, Slayer noted that women who cared about their figures but were inclining to be too fat might want to avoid sugar because it may dispose them to be fatter than they desire to be. When Slayer made his observation, the English were consuming an average, perhaps, 5 pounds of sugar a year. The US FDA research suggests we now consume 42 pounds a year. We have to acknowledge that the evidence against sugar is not definitive, compelling though I personally find it to be. Let's say we randomly assigned individuals in our population to eat a modern diet with or without sugar in it. Since virtually all processed foods have sugar added, or like most breads, are made with sugar, the population that is asked to avoid sugar would simultaneously be avoiding virtually all processed foods as well. They would dramatically reduce their consumption of what journalist Michael Pollan, author of books on food, agriculture and drugs, has memorably called food-like substances. And if they were healthier, there would now be a host of possible reasons why. Maybe they ate fewer refined grains of any type, less gluten, fewer trans fats, preservatives or artificial flavourings. We would have no practical way to know for sure.